And welcome to the Shir Tagum Parshas Nitzavim. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Yaakov Frankel, marking the yard site of his grandmother, Mali Schechter, Chaya Malka Bas Yaakov HaKohen. It's also sponsored in honor of Judy Levine from her nephews, great nephews and great nieces, Lawrence and Susan Rosen and family. Bez Hashem, we should continue to learn a lot of Torah together, whether to memorialize someone who's no longer with us or to honor somebody who Baruch Hashem is still with us. So Parshas Nitzavim starts off describing how Klal Yisrael will come into Eretz Yisrael, and it's essential that they not stray after the various idols of the Avodah Zarah that they're going to encounter there. And the pasuk says, Perchov Tes Pasuk Yitzayim, Pen Yesh Bochem, lest there be among you Isho, Isho, Mishpacha, Shevet, a man, a woman, a family, a whole tribe, Asher Levavo, Fone Hayom Im Hashem Elokeinu, that Chas V'Shalom, his heart is turning away today from Hashem, our God, V'leches Lavod Es Elohei HaGoyim Hohem, and his desire is to go and worship the deities of those nations. Pen yesh bochem shoresh hore rosh vila'ano, lest there be among you a shoresh, a root, which is pore, which produces, like the word pru or vu, to be fruitful and multiply. Lest there be among you a root which produces rosh vila'ano. Rosh and La'ana are both bitter herbs. Lest there be among you a root that produces these bitter herbs. And that's clearly a metaphor, right? Because, you know, the beginning of the pasuk is talking about, you know, lest there be among you someone who's going to go and worship the foreign gods of Eretz Yisrael that you're coming into. You know, the Torah is not concerned that there are going to be bitter herbs among Klal Yisrael. It's clearly it's a metaphor for something. So what exactly is it a metaphor for? In other words, what does it mean, you know, when something or someone is called a shoresh pore rosh vela'ana, a root that grows bitter herbs? So Rashi over here writes as follows. Shoresh megadel esav mar. It's a, again, the literal translation is a root which produces a bitter kind of grass, Kegidin shehein morin, just like sinews that are very bitter and tasteless. Mafre umarbe resha bekir bechem. We're talking about an individual who is mafre umarbe. He increases and multiplies resha, wickedness, in your midst. So in other words, the shoresh pore rosh vila'ana, says Rashi, refers to somebody who we might call in English an instigator, someone who's instigating evil among the Jewish people. And indeed, the successive psukim, as we're going to see, describes how this individual, you know, has all kinds of nefarious plots as to how he's going to commit evil things and not listen to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting to note that Tagum Unculus over here seems to give a different interpretation than Rashi and clearly has a different understanding of the metaphor. The Unculus writes, Dilma ispichon gevar maharher chetin ozodov, lest there be among you a person who has thoughts, maharher, he thinks in his heart, chetin ozodov. He thinks about how he's going to commit sins, be they chetin. Chetin usually is meant to describe unintentional sins, ozodon, or intentional sins. First of all, it's an interesting question. How do you plan to do unintentional sins? You can plan to do intentional sins, right? But how do you plan to do unintentional sins, right? So I think what it means is that the person just simply thinks to himself, right, a person, it's not that I'm going to plan to do something, you know, which is sinful unintentionally, because how can you plan to do something unintentional? It means the person thinks to himself, I don't need to be careful, right? The person thinks to himself, I don't need to be careful. Only very frum people do that kind of stuff. I'm not so frum, right? You know, I don't plan to be careful. That's maharer chetin, ozadon, or worse, he actually proactively thinks about how he's going to carry out intentional sins. Right? But the according to the Targum Onkelos, the individuals being described here in the Pasuk, Shoresh Pore Rosh Vila'ana, means somebody who is thinking sinful thoughts. How did we get from a root which is producing bitter herbs to someone who's thinking sinful thoughts? So it would seem that the Targum Onkelos understands that the Torah, by using the word shoresh, a root, is trying to indicate something which is not visible from the surface, but at the same time is behind whatever is going to be produced. Think about a root, right? A root is underground. If I just look on, you know, the top of the ground, I don't see the root at all. But the root is really responsible for all of the growth that I do see above the ground. The root corresponds to a person's thoughts, at least in the metaphor. I look at a person, I don't know what they're thinking, right? And sometimes, you know, you see a person, you think you know that person very well, and then they do something which, you know, to your mind is crazy. How could so-and-so have acted in such a way, right? And the answer is because you don't know what's going on in the person's mind. You know, maybe for the last 15 years, the person has had thoughts about doing X, Y, and Z, but he pushed them down, you know, he didn't carry those thoughts into action. And then one day, for whatever reason, you know, all of a sudden, the person actualized the thoughts they were thinking for the last 15 years. That's the shoresh pore rosh velano, the root which is giving forth these bitter herbs. The root of a person is his machshava, is his thoughts. It all starts with the thoughts, even if you don't see it, but that's what ultimately produces the actions which a person is going to have. So that would seem to be the way that the Targum Onkelos over here understands this metaphor. And according to the Targum Onkelos, it's an important idea which is being expressed in the Pasuk. Namely, when the Pasuk is about to describe that you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael and you're going to see these idols, these Avodah Zarahs, don't be snared and don't be pulled after them. The Torah is saying specifically, you have to make sure that not only are your actions going to be proper, but your thought process has to be proper as well. It all starts with the thoughts. And if you're not careful about what you think about and what you reflect upon and what you spend your time ruminating over, that's going to translate into action. Right? Let's keep reading the Psukim and we'll see how the translation of the Targum Onkelos fits the success of Psukim really well. So the Pasuk is saying, Pen yesh bochem shoresh pore rosh velano, lest there be among you somebody who's just thinking in his mind. Again, as we explained it before, either I just don't need to be careful, maharer chetin, right? So he's thinking thoughts which will lead him to sin unintentionally. He just thinks to himself, you know, I don't need to be so careful. Or worse, he actively is thinking of sins that he can carry out, maharer zodom. He's thinking about premeditated things that he's going to do. V'hoya, yeah?
It could be more than that, but we'll come back to what you're saying. More than that is being passed by a church. Oh, what a beautiful structure.
Right.
So what you're doing over here is even to think, well, look at these people. Look at the clothing they're wearing when they do the service. They have nice clothing.
Right.
And they're doing the service of a Avodah Zarah. It's just thinking about it can draw you in.
Right.
When Rashi says in Chumash, you should say, my Noah, Messi has a
right. Right, right. It all starts with the thoughts.
But turn away from it. Don't let that thought enter your mind on
the V'hoya, so the pasuk continues in Yirches. V'hoya, it will come to pass. B'shamo es divrei ha'ala hazos. So we're talking about now this person we described in the previous pasuk. This person who, again, for all external purposes, is as pious as he could possibly be, right? There's nothing, if you and I look at this guy, he looks like a super tzaddik, right? Anything that's going wrong is just going wrong in his head, right? When this seemingly pious person hears the words of this oath, earlier in the Psukim, it talked about how Klal Yisrael are entering into an oath when they come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to keep the Torah. So when he hears the words of this oath, v'hisborech bilvavo, he will bless himself in his heart. We'll come back to that term, v'hisborech. He will bless himself in his heart, lemar, saying, Shalom Yihyeli. everything's going to be fine for me. Ki bishrirus libi eilech. Because I will walk in the shrirus of my heart. Right? We're going to have to come back and define this word shrirus. There's a lot of words over here that need definition. Right? But the sense of what this fellow is saying in the pasuk, before we get to a more exact translation, is that this fellow says, you know, I know Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael, they entered into this whole oath and everything. You know, we're swearing that, you know, we're going to follow the words of Hashem, otherwise we're going to be punished. It's not as scary as they made it out to be. Shalom Yiyeli, everything's going to be fine for me. I'll do whatever I want. It'll be fine. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Don't get so excited. Don't get so nervous. You know, I'll do what I want and it's going to be fine. Right? We'll get to the last part of the pasuk. I'm going to leave over for a minute because that requires a lot of elucidation. But let's just start over here. So what does it mean, Bishrirus libi eilech? So let's start with Rashi. Rashi says, Bishrirus libi eilech, Bimaris libi. I will follow whatever my heart sees. I will follow the sight of my heart. Now, obviously, your heart doesn't see anything, right? But in other words, the heart over here is really a reference more to the mind. I will follow what my mind sees. In other words, whatever I see that's attractive to me, I will follow that. I don't need to follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling me to do. I'll follow whatever my mind sees as attractive. How does the word shrirus mean sight? You know, I'll follow whatever my heart sees. Marus libi. So Rashi writes, Kimo ashurenu velo karof. Right, when Bilam HaRasha is blessing the Jewish people, he talks about how in his vision he sees the coming of Moshiach, and the words that he uses, ashurenu velo karof. I can see it, but it's not going to happen soon. It's not close by. It's not immediate. Ashurenu. Ashurenu is, you know, I will see. So, Bishrirus libi eilech, says Rashi, means whatever I see, that's what, you know, whatever I see and find attractive, that's what I'm going to follow. And Rashi just explains a little bit more. Klomar, masha libi ro ela asos, whatever my heart sees fit to do, that's what I'm going to do. I don't need to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm my own boss. Nobody tells me what to do. Whatever my heart tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah.
Question. Just a thought. I'm not sure how relevant it is, Rabbi Rahm.
Yeah.
Try it anyway. Bitter roots that are bitter seem to me to be the standard root. Roots are bitter.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's like a, as opposed to something untoward, maybe that's like a good foundation for growth. You know, in other words, that the roots, just like roots of many trees and such like that are not edible, or some that are edible tend to be on the, you know, not sweet anyway.
Right.
Somehow having that sense of direction is really important in Yiddishkeit, that you don't get swayed easily one way or another, but you...
You need to be rooted.
You can be rooted.
Really rooted. Okay, yeah. I hear that. The roots are definitely very, very important, 100%. Okay. So we take a look at the Targum Onkelos over here. So again, that phrase, Ki bishrirus libi eilech, which Rashi translated as, I will walk in whatever my heart sees as being fit to do. Targum Onkelos writes, Arei beharhur libi ano azil. I will walk beharhur libi in the thoughts of my heart. So Mefarshim over here write that essentially, although the Targum Onkelos literally is a little bit different than Rashi, he translates the word shrirus as my thoughts, right, as opposed to Rashi, who translates it as my sight. Essentially, they're saying the same thing. In other words, Rashi etymologically explained why shrirus means that which my heart sees. There doesn't seem to be an obvious etymological connection between the word shrirus and any kind of thought. So how did Targum Onkelos come to explain this word as meaning whatever my heart thinks? So Mefarshim explained that, you know, a real developed thought is almost like you see it yourself. You know, when Rashi says, I'm going to walk in the thoughts of my heart, I'm going to follow the thoughts of my heart, it doesn't mean a fleeting thought, right? It means a thought which is so vivid, it's almost like you can see it. Very vivid imagination. So look how we progressed from one thought to another thought. In the previous pasuk, right, Shoresh Pararosh Vela'ano, it's a person who's thinking, you know, the roots of thinking are that, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be so connected to Torah. Now already in this next thought, the thoughts, in this next pasuk, the thoughts are already shrirus. They're already taking form and shape. He has an image in his mind as to what he wants to do. Again, everything here is focused on his thoughts. So let's go back with that a little bit further back in the pasuk. Right, the pasuk said, "V'hayo b'shamos divrei ha'Allah azos." Right, when this person hears the words of this oath, you know, as we swear that we have to uphold the Torah, "V'sbarech bilvavo," he blesses himself in his heart. Lamor is saying, "Shalom yieli." Ah, no, everything's going to be fine for me. In other words, he brushes off the notion that he'll be punished for going against Torah. What's the word v'hisborech? He will bless himself. Very, very, again, unusual term.
Rationalizing?
I'm sorry?
Rationalizing?
Kind of, yeah. So Rashi writes like this. Rashi writes like this, right? V'hisborech bilvavo lashon bracha. It's related to the word bracha, blessing. Yachshov b'libo birkas shalom la'atzmo. He thinks to himself a blessing of peace. In other words, he anticipates that everything's going to be fine. He blesses himself, basically, I guess we would say in English, he pats himself on the back, right? In other words, he reassures himself that everything is going to be fine. He says a blessing to himself, right? How does the Targum Onkelos translate this? So the Targum Onkelos writes, V'hi b'mishme'e yas piskame mamasa hada. It will come to pass when he hears the words of this oath. V'chashev b'libe l'meimar. And he will think in his heart, saying, everything's going to be fine. Interesting, right? So here's a third time of the use of thinking, right? He's thinking in his heart. He blesses himself. How does blessing himself, you know, relate to thinking? Again, it's along the lines that Rashi said that, you know, he's thinking that everything will be fine. He reassures himself, but again, all of this is a conversation he's having with himself. He's not talking to anybody. You look outwardly, he davens a long Shemon Esrei, you know, he shuckles, you know, everything seems to be wonderful, 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 but already deep inside, something is going very, very wrong. So he's telling himself that I can disregard the words of Torah and I'll be fine. And then the end of the pasuk is very hard to understand. Lema'an sifos harava es hatzmeya. Such that the satiated will be added to the thirsty. What does that mean? The satiated will be added to the thirsty. Right, smeo means a person, something. Simon is thirst. Raveh means something which is satiated, which is saturated. The saturated will be added to the thirsty. So what does that mean? So here the Targum Onkelos comes and says, this is also a melitza, it's also a metaphor. B'dil la'osafa le'chete shalusa al zeidonusa. Such that it will be added to him his sins that he does unintentionally to the sins that he does intentionally. What does that mean? And how did you get that out of the pasuk? So here there's a Rashi. So Rashi writes, "Lefisha osiflo peronus amasha asad heno b'shogeg v'yisi mavir aleim v'garem ato shetzarfei mimamezi ve'epara mimenu akol." The pasuk is describing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do to this individual. You're thinking to yourself, I can do whatever I want. I don't care. I don't have to listen to the words of Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to punish you in a very, very unique way. Generally speaking, I punish you severely for a sin that you do b'mezid, that you do intentionally. And I punish you to a much lesser degree for a sin that you do unintentionally. B'shogeg. In other words, I waive a lot of the penalties if you do an aver b'shogeg. But now, because you're thinking that you don't care, so I'm going to punish you for a shogeg the same way I punish you for a mezid. I'm going to punish you for an unintentional sin the same way I punish you for an intentional sin. Right? Sefos harava esatzmeya. I'm going to add on the satiated to the thirsty. What does satiated and thirsty have to do with the person who does a sin either unintentionally or intentionally? Right? So Rashi adds the following. Rava, he says, a person who's satiated is an expression for a sin that a person does b'shogeg, unintentionally. How so? He says, imagine a person is drunk. He's satiated, right? He's plastered, right? In other words, he's saturated in a very big way. When you're saturated in that kind of way, you do things that you do unintentionally. You wake up in the morning and say, so what was last night? What did I do last night? Oh, you don't want to know what you did last night. You don't even want to know, right? So those are sins that you did unintentionally. Those will be added on to the sins that you do tzmeya, that you do when you're thirsty, that is to say, things that you do intentionally, right? It's also a metaphor. The person who has a tremendous desire, like a person who's dying of thirst and says, I know exactly what I'm doing. I can't hold myself back. I'm so thirsty. That's amazing. The unintentional sins are going to be added on to the intentional sins. And says Rashi, that's what the Targum Onkelos is getting at. You're going to be punished for the unintentional sins the same way that you're punished for the intentional sins. Now, just want to mention two ideas and then we'll wrap up for tonight. So first of all, some of the Mefarshim on the Targum Onkelos point out that although Rashi quotes the Targum Onkelos to support his pshat, that the man Sefos HaRava Esad Smeya is describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish this individual, it's not clear that that's what the Targum Onkelos means. Rashi says that's what the Targum Onkelos means. But you could read the Targum Onkelos differently. Some of the Mefarshim do. It's not that the Pasuk is describing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to add the Shogeg sins to the Mezid sins. It's just describing what the person himself is going to end up doing. And the way to read the Targum Onkelos, not like Rashi, is that Targum Onkelos is saying as follows. If your thought process is such that you're going, you know, you don't care, you just say, I'll do whatever I want, you yourself will end up sinning to a much greater degree. You just, previously, you might have only sinned, you know, when you really, really, really were compelled to sin by the Yetzer Hara. But now, because in your thoughts you're not committed to Torah, you'll end up being negligent and adding many, many sins b'shogeg on top of the sins b'mezid. Right? So we should just point out that the Targum Onkelos may read like that, even though Rashi doesn't read the Targum Onkelos that way, but that is another way of reading the Targum Onkelos, that we're talking about what the person will do as opposed to how Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to respond to this person. Second point, and this we're going to try to say 20 minutes worth of Torah in 20 seconds, so start the clock, right? Rashi's interpretation of the Targum Onkelos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish this sinful person, that he's going to treat an Avera B'shogeg like an Avera B'mezid, right? In other words, you'll be punished for something you did unintentionally the same way a person is punished for something you did intentionally. On the surface, really doesn't seem fair, you know? Again, you want to punish me for what I did, Mela. But you want to punish me more severely? In other words, you want to, I steal a candy bar. So you say, you know what? That was really a terrible thing. We're going to lock you in prison for the next 30 years. We'll teach you a lesson, right? I just stole a candy. I admit it wasn't a good thing to steal a candy bar. But that's really worth 30 years in prison? We're going to throw the book at you, you know? It doesn't seem fair, right? A person should be punished for a sin b'mezid as if it's a mezid. A person should be punished for a sin b'shogeg like it's a shogeg. What's this idea that you get punished for a shogeg like it's a mezid? This is a beautiful drasha Rav Moshe Zatzal has. It was printed in the Kol Rama on Yomim Noroim, where he makes the following point. And it's worthwhile just making the point as we're about to go into the Yomim Noroim. Anybody who learns Gemara knows, you know, that mezid you get punished more severely, shogeg you get punished more leniently, right? There's a basic distinction in halacha. Writes Rav Moshe, The truth is, that's a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Really, a person who sins b'shoge is also doing something incredibly, incredibly disrespectful for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're charged to carry out Hashem's will in this world. We're going to be negligent about it. We're going to allow ourselves to do sins b'shogeg. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should punish us b'shogeg the same way that He punishes us b'mezid. It's a chesed from Hashem that He downgrades the punishment that we get when we do a shogeg. It's a special chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, if you look at the piece, Rav Meisha brings some proofs from various Ma'amari Chazal that that's the case. Again, we don't have time. Basically, what's going on in this pasuk is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just removing that act of chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, "Oh, you want to play like that? Okay, so I won't be as nice as I normally am. I'll give it to you shur as hadin, according to the letter of the law, where there's no difference between mezid and shogeg. That's how you want to play it? Okay." All right, so we'll put Mezid and Shogeg on the same playing field, and the person will be punished accordingly. That's what's going on over here. It's not that it's not fair. It's that usually HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us tremendous chesed in downgrading the level of a Shogeg, and here HaKadosh Baruch Hu just restores things to the way they're fundamentally supposed to be. We should be Zoche Be'ezus Hashem, first of all, to a good Shabbos, a Ksiva, Chasima Tova, Gugge Ben Shiar, and we should be Zoche to continue to grow in Ruchnius and to have good health in this upcoming year. Rav Chana ben Akasha Omer, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakus Yisrael, Lefikach, Hirbo Lohem, Torah Umitzvos, Shenemar,